Two on August 1st, 2023. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On to item number three on today's agenda is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Does anybody on Zoom have any public comment? All right, not seeing any public comment, we're going to move right on to item number four, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the agenda for August 1st, 2023. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the agenda?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
County Manager, are there any changes to the agenda?
Here we go.
Unbelievable. With that said, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number five on today's agenda is the consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good to go. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number six is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration for approval for resolution number 23-697. Recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 10 to 15 years of service for the county. Are you going to take this or Brandy? All right, Brandy.
Hi, Brandy Lopez for the record. The county just would like to recognize and commend some of our employees who have been here for 10 to 15 years of service. This is the first time we're doing this, so we're going to be recognizing employees from 10 years to 14 years. We just want to get them all caught up to today's present. Then after this meeting, we'll be recognizing employees in the year that they're in the month that they were their anniversary falls.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brandy. I believe there is a motion on here.
Yes.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
Well done. Thank you, Randy.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Yeah, absolutely. No questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-697, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 10 to 15 years of service to the county.
I'll second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Just a little extra. Yeah.
In your motion, it may not be bad to actually add the names of the people that are involved in each of the resolutions, and those names are included in the each resolution.
Each resolution, yeah. I can name them if you'd like.
Fair enough. Vice Chairman, you want to read?
I'm happy to let Brandy do it as well.
What do you prefer? Why don't we have Brandy read it?
Okay. So for 10 to 15 years of service, we have Jeff Holman, Lindy Renault, Lance Gilman, Samantha Loper, Stanley Glowniak, Deborah Burns, Corliss Wood, Tamara Megan, Timothy Shropshire, Joseph Welch, and Eric Kern.
Wonderful. Just an explanation, what we're going to do is we're going to stand up here diploma style, like in high school or college, for those that went to college. We'll call your name. Come up. Commissioners will be there with county manager. Take a quick photo. You receive your plaque and your present. And then we'll have you sit down. We'll call the next name up. So like Brandy said, this is the first time we're doing it. So if there's any kinks, just bear with us. Yeah. So you good, gentlemen? Austin? Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Brandy.
That's something else we'll do. Right.
Oh. Hey, Jeff Holman.
We're going to speak right in the middle, commissioners, on the outside.
There you go.
Closer.
Awesome. That's perfect.
Yes. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much for all you do, Jim.
Hey, don't forget
to have advice.
Yeah. Can you run out? Lance Gilman. Samantha Loper. And Glania. Deborah Burns.
Almost.
Corey Wood. Camera Megan.
oriented.
Timothy Shropshire. Joseph Welch.
Front center.
Oh.
And Eric Kern.
You're blocking us.
One more. Oh, no more. Oh, huh. Something like that.
We got to figure out a better way to do this one.
I know.
Our next resolution.
All right. Again, thank you to all the employees who have been here 10 years and over. Very much appreciated. Moving on to item number 7, this discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration of approval for resolution number 23-698, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 15 to 20 years of service for the county. Randy?
So again, we are recognizing and commending our employees for their years of service. This one is for 10 to 15 years of service. We are recognizing all these, all of the employees up into this date who have had anniversaries after the 15 year mark. And then after that, we will be recognizing their anniversaries on their month of service. So would you like me to name off the individuals?
Yeah, let's do that.
10 to 15 years, sorry. Trent Stretta, Rebecca Parsons, Jason Wiersbicki, Austin Osborne, Rachel Ferris, James Steen, Lance Andres, and Jennifer McCain.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-698, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 15 to 20 years of service to the county.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Hey, Trent Scretta. All the vehicles appreciate you. Rebecca Parsons. Jason Wiersbicki. Rachel Ferris. Jennifer McCain. Austin Osborne.
No, you're good.
We did have one more person that couldn't make it today, Lance Andres.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, on to item number 8, this is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration of approval for resolution number 23-699, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 20 years of service to the county. Brandy.
So again, we would like to recognize and commend some of our employees who have had 20 plus years of service with the county. Again, we are recognizing everyone up into this date, and then we will recognize everybody following on their anniversary dates. We do have 3 people. Dave Curtis, Janice Seddon, and Greg Hess.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Thanks.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, could I entertain a motion?
Yeah, be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-699, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 20 years of service to the county.
Second motion.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Dave Curtis. No, not here. Janice Seddon could not be with us today. And Greg Hess.
He is on the.
Okay.
Right.
All right, we are down to the last one. Item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration for approval for resolution number 23-700, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served more than 20 years of service to the county. Randy?
So we are recognizing everyone who has been with the county for 25 plus years of service. We, again, are commending them for the years of service, and again, are only doing it for everybody up until this point, and we will again continue on with every year for their anniversaries after that. Eileen Harrington.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No question.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-700, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 25 years of service to the County of Warren.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
I can't see it.
Okay. Austin, we can't see you. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. If we can get a round of applause one more time for all the employees, thank you. All right, we are going to move right on to item number 10. This is discussion only, no action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And as we always do, we're going to kick off with the Sheriff's Office.
Morning, Commissioners. Sheriff Cullen for the record. This morning, I do have a few things for staff reports. I'd like to make some introductions. Officially now, we have Assistant Sheriff Eric Kern. He's been with the department for quite a while, graduated from the academy back in 2009, and I recently swore him in as one of the new assistant sheriffs officially now, not acting in Eric Kern. Eric's going to be in charge of our jail and patrol divisions. On the end is Assistant Sheriff John Dietrich. John comes to us from 6 years over in Napa County and then 30 years at the California Highway Patrol. He's been in Northern Nevada living here since the early 2000s and a Virginia City resident for the last 6 years. John is going to be heading up our dispatch and business office as Assistant Sheriff John Dietrich on the end. And in the middle is Erica Wall. Erica comes to us from Carson City Sheriff's Office with over 15 years of experience in office management. She's a Northern Nevada native, and she loves her kids and dogs, and she loves standing in front of people and talking. But this is, I just want to introduce you to our new folks and their official titles.
Thank you, Sheriff. Welcome, guys.
Good. I have three other items here. Our OHV grant that I've been talking about for quite some time has been funded by the state OHV commission. We've already begun purchasing equipment for that. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that that grant is fully funded through OHV registrations. It's not taxpayer dollars. It's all the registrations. So we, Eric actually presented that grant at the commission and did a great job. Little sad note on our mounted unit. Some of you have heard that Diesel, one of our Clydesdales, passed away. He was 19 years old on July 22nd. He was only with the Story County Sheriff's Office for a short time, but he was with Sparks PD for over 15 years. Diesel was a true working patrol horse. They described him as a gentle giant, and he will be missed. And on that note, also for our mounted officers, if you want to meet them, you can come down to Lockwood tonight at the Louise Perry Park from 6 to 8. We have our national night out this year. Tonight is in Lockwood. Next week on Tuesday is up here in Virginia City. And you'll be able to check out the mounted unit and the mounted officers and our new OHV unit and some of the equipment we've got at this point. And that's pretty much what I've got for you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sheriff. Any questions for the sheriff, gentlemen?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update. Moving right along, the Fire Protection District, Chief Longcar.
Hi, good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just two things. Our engine did return from Riverside, in which we instantly turned around and sent another unit back out. So we currently have an engine that's protecting the San Bernardino National Forest. It's on pre-position, so they're not actively engaged at the moment, but they could be pulled into instance around that area. And this, the last thing I have is that we got word from our architects. They're moving very quickly on the Fire Station 71 designs. So hopefully within the next week or so, we start getting some conceptuals together, which I would love to share with the board at some point, just to show you better what our vision is and to get your input on how to make it something that's going to last another 60, 70 years and serve Virginia City. And that's all I have, and I'll take any questions.
Appreciate it, Chief. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for the update. Public Works, Jason Wersbicki.
I have nothing to do to report.
Thank you, Jason. How about Operations and Projects Coordinator Mike Northern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Operations Projects Coordinator Mike Northern. Start with Station 72. We completed the over-excavation and base placement for the area that we can work in without de-energizing the existing underground electrical feeders. Next step will be to open a trench and install some N36 boxes and conduit to prepare for the NV Energy crew to come out and intercept the existing feeders and de-energize the portion that runs under the excavation area. This will allow us to continue with the building pad, move into footings and slab. Work will proceed fairly quickly once the NV Energy work is done, but their crew is not subject to our scheduling. So that's about the only wild card as of right now. Item two, we continue to work with FEMA, EM Director Wilson, on the disaster recovery from the heavy runoff and massive downpours in March. We're assembling and submitting all the required documentation to complete our application for funding. Item three, I've been working with Carson City and Titan Electrical to prepare for some anticipated additional traffic signal systems on USA Parkway to ensure the uniformity of the systems, maintenance, continuity of operation, and conformance with standards. Item four, currently working with Public Works Director Wersbicki and Deputy DA Loomis in drafting a contract for the water tank maintenance rehabilitation effort. And lastly, I've been working with Honey Menifee on the grant side of the TRI Sheriff Substation and the Fairgrounds Improvements Projects. And I've also been working on the preliminary RFQ documents for the proposed Public Works facility out in TRI. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, have any questions?
No questions.
Thank you for the update.
Thanks, sir.
Moving right along to our Business Development Director, Laura Mather. Thank you, Laura. Moving right along to newly married Grants Manager, Honey Coughlin.
Good morning, Honey Coughlin, for the record. I have to really think about that. I have a couple of updates about the grants. In 2020, you may have seen all the interns walking around doing the surveys of all the historic and structures on the Comstock. So that was considered phase one of that project. And so this year for the HPF grant, we are looking towards applying for phase two of the project. So currently, I don't have a lot of information on what that's going to entail. pretty much because it involves data and I don't understand all of the data elements, but I've been working with Dow and some staff from the SHPO and then also Kristen Brown from the CHD. And we're trying to get together and kind of figure out what this phase two project is going to look like, but it's going to be implementing all of the data from the survey in 2020 into usable format in order to just have a really good, I guess it's GIS layer. Exactly. Don't know what that is myself, but to use for like, it will be helpful for emergency situations, just knowing what structures are reinforced masonry or unreinforced and all of that for just, it'll kind of affect everybody who works in Story County, their departments. So once I get a better handle on that and understand it, that application has to be in at the end of this month. So we're working quickly on that. As far as the chief mentioned Fire Station 71, and we're happy about the progress that's being made. I've been working with county staff and also the fire district staff on the purchase of the new property that will be for the building of that fire station. And then, as Mike Northen said, the fairgrounds, Dow is the one working on the preliminary architecture report and also the environmental, and they will have that to us August 10th. So we'll be able to submit that to the USDA and then get the funds obligated for that. And then for the Lockwood Senior Center, happily, I was able to submit the environmental review to HUD. That was a huge undertaking that Loomis and his contractors worked for. And the only thing we're waiting for on that to get final approval from HUD, I had to tomorrow in the newspaper, the finding of no significant impact report for the environmental report will be published. And then we have to wait for 15 days for public comment to return on that. Then I can get that entire report finalized. And then the funds for the Lockwood Senior Center will be obligated to us from HUD. So that is the end of my report.
Thank you very much, honey. Fellow commissioners, have any questions or comments?
No questions.
All right. Thank you again for that update.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the community resource coordinator, Shannon Smith. You're the next contestant. Come on up. Foster, sorry. I don't know where I got Smith from.
That's okay. I'll answer.
How about Shannon?
That'll work.
Perfect.
Good morning. For the record, Shannon Foster. As the new community resource coordinator, I've been reaching out to key people throughout the area to introduce myself and discuss what my role is here going to be looking like and trying to mold that with them as well. I attended the July multidisciplinary team meeting here in Story County, and I'll be doing that on a monthly basis. Laura and I met with Eric from Community Chess and Stacy from the Senior Center and discussed affordable housing. Laura and I also met with staff at Carson Health and Human Services. And I've started updating Story County's Health and Human Service Plan and Indigent Services Plan. End of report.
Wonderful. Thank you, Shannon. Fellow commissioners, have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you again, Shannon Foster. How about our emergency management director, Adam Wilson?
Morning, Adam Wilson for the record. A couple of updates for emergency management. Perimeter app, the mapping software I told you about last week, that'll be going live on the 21st of this month. Tomorrow we begin the onboarding of getting all the department heads who need to be in there permissions and access, and then on the 17th at 8 a.m. we'll be doing a drill, so that way we can familiarize ourselves with how that software works before it goes live. I attended Douglas County's drill yesterday for their go live date. Went really well, and the software performed remarkably. So the fact that it's grant funded and free to us is just a great opportunity. We're also going to be working on getting us into the Greater Nevada Shakeout Drill on October 19th. It's at 10:19 on 10:19. I'm going to do a EOC activation and a countywide drill as part of that. So I'm formulating that plan now. And the emergency operation plan is complete. It's with the department heads, and I hope to have it in front of you by next month at the latest. That's all I have. Any questions?
Wonderful. Thank you, Adam. Commissioners, have any questions?
No questions.
Thank you very much. Moving right along to the Virginia City Tourism Commission Director, Todd Tuttle.
Good morning, Todd Tuttle, Tourism Director. We just want to update Hot August Nights, had a wonderful turnout for it. We had 267 cars at our closest estimate for Friday. 322 cars were in attendance on Saturday. The Hon officials, the Hot August Nights officials, in communication with them on Saturday, said it was one of the smoothest run events that they've seen in a number of years. So we're quite happy with that. The other part I want to comment on was the cooperation with waste management, being able to get the trash barrels emptied early in the morning. The merchants cooperated with that, making sure that all of the receptacles were out. The trash was collected by 5 a.m. in the morning and everything back to normal without hardly anybody knowing the process of what was going on. And we did not see the massive trash buildup that we would normally see on the Saturday. So that went extremely well, and I'm happy with where it went. A couple of the events that are coming up that we should be aware of. August 3rd, which is Thursday, is part of the poker run, still part of the Hot August Nights events that are going down in Reno. We do anticipate 300 to 400 cars still coming up to visit us on that Thursday. We will have some designated parking areas for those classic autos to be able to park, take care of that activity and festivity, and then get back down to Reno for their events. On August 12th will be the Silent Rider Street Dance. It'll be up on the south end of town. We have more details about that coming up. So there will be a small street closure once we have all the details from the Silent Riders. On August 19th through the 20th is the Art Walk on the Comstock. Of course, it will be located down below D Street in the Silverland area. We expect quite a number of participants for that. And we're kind of excited about that family functions and event coming up for it. The August 25th through the 26th, the Virginia City Roundup, that's the motorcycle rodeo, and it will be held down in the fairgrounds. We hope to contain most of the activity down there with a lot of the excitement with the motorcycles that they bring into the city. Finally, September 8th through the 10th is the Camel Races, the 64th annual. We've got some great response on it. A number of our ticket local venues are sold out for the various shows on Saturday. The VIP tent and some of the shaded areas are all sold out. So I'd like to remind the public, if they want to be involved with the Camel Races, to be able to see and participate in it, to get your tickets early. But it's becoming very, very popular. The last thing I want to emphasize is August 20th. That's on a Sunday. We will have NBC's First Look. It will be a program that will be presented on, obviously, NBC throughout the nation. And they're identifying some of the unique places to visit within the nation. And they picked Virginia City as one of their key locations. So we'll have a number of film crews that will hear. There'll be a number of drones that will be flying for being observing. So just be aware of that. And when you see a drone overhead, give it a big wave and smile. You'll end up on national television. So just to be aware, we've got a great opportunity in front of us. That's my report for the day.
Much appreciated, Todd. Fellow commissioners, have any questions or comments for Todd?
Exciting report. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for that report, Todd.
Thank you.
On to money matters. Comptroller's office. Thank you. I believe Jenna is not here today. How about the recorder's office? Recorder McPherson. Thank you, Drew. IT department, James Dean. Thank you, James. Human resources, Brandy Lopez. Thank you. Community development director, Pete Renault. Thank you, Pete.
Must be slow.
Yeah, nothing going on. The senior center, Stacy York. Thank you, Stacy. Do we still have the judge back there? No. Nope. How about the district attorney's office? We have DA Langer with us today.
Yes, I'm going with the proof. Nothing to report today.
All right. Great to see you, Ann. How about the county manager's office?
I so. Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne. I just want to say a couple of things.
On July 27th, we had, or there was a town hall held by the Tahoe Pyramid Trail Bikeway folks. It was well attended, about 29, 30 people, and there were some good comments made, and we really appreciated the folks for going to Lockwood and listening to those people. There'll be more to come. And I just want to remind everyone, August 10 at 5:30 will be the next Mark Twain master plan workshop. Kathy Canfield from planning will be taking lead on that, but we'll all be down there and getting comments from the Mark Twain folks on what they like to see in the master plan update. And we just really want to thank the folks throughout the communities for attending these updates. They've been really well attended and people have a lot of good things to say. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin?
No questions.
All right. Clerk's office. Thank you. And then I'm going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to do our nonprofits. I think I only see St. Mary's Arts Center here. Do you have an update for us?
Good morning.
Morning.
Erica Perry, St. Mary's Arts Center, for the record. I have a few things to share today. One, the brick repointing project has commenced on the west, south, and east facades and expects to take a total of 2 months. We're about 2 weeks in so far. Second, we have built a new creative roster page on our website for visual artists, literary and performing artists, makers, etc. to register. The purpose is to create a robust list, including type of work, location, and contact information. As part of our mission supporting artists and as a leader in the art community, we will use this roster to identify the myriad talent around us and support and inform them of upcoming opportunities. The data will also be extremely useful for grant applications, awards, and projects beyond the Art Center. We strongly encourage the artists, performers, writers, and makers in the county to help and register with us, so we would highly encourage that. We have amazing talent surrounding us. Number three, and last but certainly not least, I am extraordinarily sad to announce the passing of our board member and friend, Don Bailey. His son, David Bailey, is with us today in honor of his father. It is serendipitous timing that Don follows your thoughtful county recognitions. I am going to read this in hopes of maintaining my composure for all of our sakes. Don believed in contributing and participating in his communities. He served on many boards throughout his career, including Public Employees Benefits, Intel International Science and Engineering Fair, and over 45 years with the Boy Scouts, to name just a few. He received the Silver Beaver Award, which is the highest award an adult volunteer may receive from the Scouts. He was also a proud founding father of the National Printers Association, a founder of Hot August Nights, and served as president of the Retired Public Employees of Nevada. He was on our board the longest of all, though, and I'm quite proud of that fact. Surely it isn't just because I told him he could never leave. Whenever I mention that Don joined us in 1975, people tend to be universally amazed and shocked. Many boards impose term limits, and often for good reason. In this case, it would have been an incredible mistake. He served with pride and focus on our board for 48 years, and the Art Center in Story County could not have been more fortunate. I have had the pleasure of serving as the director of the Art Center for almost 8 years now, and have worked with a variety of board members there and many others, all passionate and contributing in their own unique way. None would ever want to be measured against Don, however. He was truly unique and driven. He never fought burnout, never stopped advocating for the Art Center, and he was fiercely protective of it, the board, me, and of course, budget. He is the only board member to work with every single director that has ever served at the Art Center. And I'm told we've been a very colorful and opinionated bunch. Clearly, he was a very brave and stubborn man. Financials and budget management were his area of expertise. He is responsible for so much, including all of the new plumbing fixtures in the building, much of our furnishings, even our flagpole and American flags over the years. A favorite quote from the original director, Louise Curran, in 1984 is a prime example. Don Bailey, chairman of our board, is one of the best groundsmen I know. He consistently donated significant items to our silent auctions and always drove folks to donate or join as members. His favorite role of all, though, was bartending during our special events and talking with our guests. In addition to supporting the Art Center, he had other connections in town, including supporting Piper's Opera House and the Fourth Ward School in the past. He knew many of the folks and businesses, and he loved Virginia City. At the end of many board meetings, I was instructed to thank you, Story County, on his behalf for your continued support of our efforts. This is his final thank you. Much to his dismay, and I think secret pleasure, we dedicated our Imagination's Children's Art Program to him a few years ago. He was outvoted probably for the first time in his life. The Imagination's Program and the Art Center will carry on his legacy of supporting the arts, preservation, and children. In closing, it is important to me and everyone at St. Mary's Art Center that we honor Don and his incredible yet quiet contributions here with you. We have all lost an incredible human and advocate that I hope and believe his memory and spirit will live on. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Appreciate Don's son being here as well. Thank you. All right. That concludes our staff reports for today. Bringing us on to item number 11, which is board comment. I'm going to start at my far left. Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I thought I'd share just one or two things from my assignment with the Fourth Ward School. Visitation's been down just a little bit, and so the museum is holding their annual fundraiser coming up on August 19th. It is themed as a steampunk soiree. There will be live music, dinner, and drinks, wine, and beers all included. And that's their main fundraiser for the year, so it would be awesome to sell that out and make sure that they have the funding that they need to continue the programs. And then a week after that, on August 26th, we're going to have a live jazz band back over there with swing dance lessons. And they talked me into teaching that lesson again. So if you want to see something really interesting, come take a swing dance lesson.
On it. Thank you. I don't have any news for us. I do just want to take a moment to recognize some residents and Story County folks that have passed away. Juanita Cox, longtime resident at the River District, has passed away. She was very involved in the Republican Party, both Washoe County and Story County. Those who knew Juanita, whether you agreed with her politics or not, got to tip your hat to her dedication and her motivation. We've also lost Dennis Miller, a longtime Lockwood resident, husband to Shirley Miller, again, both longtime residents in Lockwood. And last but definitely not least, and I missed this last commission meeting, is Colt Smiley. He was a student at the Virginia City High School, I believe the elementary school, also worked in town, and his mother works for the county. So we can all take a moment of silence for those who have passed and those who I did not recognize today. I would greatly appreciate it. All right. Thank you for that. Moving on, we are going to skip item number 12 for right now, unless we can't see the EDON folks and they're hiding somewhere. Nope. All right, we're going to move right on to item number 13, which is discussion only. This is a presentation by the Bureau of Land Management regarding the Green Link West Project Draft Environmental Impact Statement. A transmission corridor for NV Energy located between Las Vegas and Reno, which will traverse through Story County. Morning.
Thank you. Morning.
I would ask you both just introduce yourselves for the record once you start speaking.
Sure. For the record, my name is Greg Helseth. I'm a branch chief at the Bureau of Land Management for the Renewable Energy Office, and my office is managing both GreenLink West and GreenLink North. I present Brian.
Thank you.
My name is Brian Bidazzoni. I'm the planning and environmental specialist with the Renewable Energy Coordination Office in Reno. We do have a few slides that we'll go through here to update the board on the status of what is known as the GreenLink West project. And we'll let your
I'm going to ask, sir, that you just let Alicia know when you want to skip to the next slide.
Yep.
You got it. You're on the floor.
We also have with us today two representatives from Nevada Energy, one representative from Nevada Energy in the office in the audience, Lee Simpkins, if you'll raise your hand. We don't have with us today representatives of Logan Simpson. Logan Simpson is an environmental consultant firm out of Phoenix that has been working in coordination with the other two parties in development of the environmental document. Can you do the slideshow version of this so that it expands out the slides, please?
Try.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't need to be there.
We'll go to the next slide once you're caught up there. Thank you. This is an applicant-driven project. NV Energy submitted an application to the Bureau of Land Management and other federal agencies back in July of 2021. I'm sorry, there are some animations, and I'll let you catch up there on the animations. Should have taken them out. I know where they are, but somebody else using the program doesn't know where the you have to click. I apologize to the board for that problem. So we have an application that was received, and that was back in July of 2021. And then last May, I'll let you click again, what we conducted 30 days public scoping. And we had some advanced public meetings before public scoping. We call the pre-notice of intent. Notice of intent and this is an official publication in the Federal Register, published every day in Washington. And then after these pre-meetings, then we did scoping, which is the next milestone there. And you can see the dates here kind of tracking along here. Application, sorry, I said July of 2021. I meant July of 2020 was when the application was received. Scoping was conducted a year ago in May 2nd to June 2nd of 2022. And then we're currently in a 90-day public comment period that started on May 26th and goes through August 23rd. So we have about 3 more weeks left of that. Now, in between these two stages, in yellow scoping and the green public review, which we're in, Story County, as a cooperating agency, did have the opportunity to review an advanced copy of the environmental analysis and the range of alternatives that are included in the analysis. And your planning department, through Kathy Canfield, did submit to us a number of comments. And recently, we sent out the responses to all those comments to the cooperating agencies so they could see what we did with them, whether it warranted a revision in the document. Or sometimes we get comments that are outside our purview or outside our jurisdiction or scope or whatever. And we did turn back those responses just a couple of weeks ago. And then the next stages that we would be coming to up on would be into early next year, we'll publish a final environmental impact statement. And then the part that's going to miss on the slide here that you're not going to see because of the Zoom participants is the next stage would be a record of decision. And a record of decision is our final endpoint. And we're anticipating that to be late spring of 2024. So these are the big stages that we've gone through. And as I indicated, Story County has been on board as a cooperating agency. And most recently, last late winter, in providing us some feedback and input on the document and the alternatives associated with it. So let's take a look at the project area on the next slide. Just to recap, we're talking about North Las Vegas tying into Reno, approximately 472 miles. So it goes through multiple counties. NV Energy submitted their request to the Nevada Public Utilities Commission and then, of course, followed up with that to us with what we call an SF-299. It's a standard application form and then what we call a plan of development. And in Story County, just highlighting what we've been considering here relative to an array of alternatives that would cross through Story County and in Story County going to the Comstock Meadows substation and to the Mira Loma substation. The lines all shown in blue are the current BLM endorsed or preferred alignments of this project as it comes into and through Story County. I think there might be a couple more animations on this. So NV Energy did vet some other choices to come through Story County to these stations, and clearly I didn't update the slide deck here to show you the other choices, but what they do is they do an initial screening study, and they look at where there are conflicts on the land and obviously technical and terrain and other constraints. Things like crossing through the National Historic Landmark would be a factor as to why that alternative didn't move forward. Conflicts with or crossing National Historic Trails is another example of why they might take these alternative choices off the table. So in April 2021, they completed a site study report, and there were other choices that they considered crossing in and through Story County before we landed on what the BLM is labeling as BLM preferred alternatives. Getting again to the Comstock Meadows substation and Mira Loma substation. There are other project features along the whole span of the 472 miles, additional substations, expansion of existing substations. There's also improvements to existing access roads and new access roads. There's microwave facilities. And then also just a note that once authorization has been received by NV Energy from the Bureau of Land Management and the other federal agencies and the private land components, because there's federal land, there's DOD, DOE, and there's private lands involved here. They do anticipate phasing in their construction. It wouldn't be started all at the same time. And they anticipate this construction to take about 3 years for it to all be built out. So they're seeking rights of ways from three federal agencies. They've documented in their plan of development why there's a need for this 472-mile long transmission line, starting out with energy transmission reliability, redundancy, and resiliency. They've also documented in their plan of development the uptick in energy demand that there is in the Reno metropolitan area, warranting bringing in more resources, more electrons to the Reno area. They've also documented that in Southern Nevada, where the origination of this project is, that they anticipate in the future they'll be transitioning out some of the existing natural gas facilities that there are in Southern Nevada and transitioning them into renewable projects as the renewable projects in Southern Nevada becomes available. Again, we're the federal lead for this project, but we've also had with us the Bureau of Indian Affairs, because south of Story County, we have three crossings of three tribal reservations that require rights of ways from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. A 1.5 mile segment in Clark County crosses through what is known as the Tule Springs Fossil Beds National Monument. And so the NV Energy will also have to require a right-of-way authorization from the National Park Service. Again, not to leave out that where there is private property, obviously NV Energy will have to obtain either easements or other mechanisms for them to have the approvals to cross those private lands involved in this 472-mile long line. As I said earlier, we went out for public scoping a year ago between May 2nd and June 3rd. We had a series of public meetings. We had public meetings in Las Vegas, Beatty, Tonopah, and Reno. And that was, again, a year ago. We published a scoping report. We're currently in a 90-day public comment period, and we're reminding all of our cooperating agencies of the upcoming deadline on August 23rd to submit us comments on all the documents that are available. It's a little bit of an intimidating thing to ask because there's more than 3,000 pages of materials available. So different cooperating agencies have different interests, whether it's socioeconomics, like what would be the potential short-term and long-term jobs associated with this project? What would be the potential tax revenues across the different counties that would be affected by this, et cetera? Obviously, we have others that are more interested in what are the concerns about wildlife or biological and vegetation resources. So you don't have to review the whole 3,000 pages of materials. Many people tend to select certain resource or categories for them to take a look at. And again, we appreciate your comments by August 23rd. During this 90-day comment period, we've already completed 4 public meetings. We had a virtual meeting on June 15th. We had an in-person meeting in North Las Vegas on July 11th. We had an in-person meeting in Beatty on July 12th. And we had an in-person meeting in Reno on July 13th, and then we'll complete out the virtual meetings Tomorrow night will be our last virtual meeting from 5:30 p.m. until 7 p.m. And then again, the comment period ends on August 23rd. We have developed a range of alternatives, and including what NV Energy vetted during in the different counties and the different siting studies that they did in terms of the choices to try to limit or minimize conflicts. We can never eliminate all conflicts with resources and socio concerns and otherwise. We're required to consider a no action alternative, and under a no action alternative, we don't approve the project. The federal agencies do not authorize the project to be built. We have a plan of development that describes NV Energy's proposed action. We also have what we call the Bureau of Land Management alternative or preferred alternative, and this is what was showed in the blue lines. So basically what we did was we took the NV Energy proposal and we made some modifications to it. Across the 472 miles, we have 9 route groupings where we tried to minimize conflicts and impacts to biological considerations, socioeconomic considerations, and cultural considerations. And if you go on the website and you look at some of the maps, you'll see where we were trying to strategize and making all these choices to try to decrease impacts, but we're not required to eliminate impacts. So it's really about minimization, avoidance where we can. So we blessed an alternative that we call the BLM preferred. And we had 22 alternatives. I've got some incorrect information here. 6 of them were dismissed totally from any analysis. And one of them was up here in Story County that would have landed the project through the middle of the National Historic District. And for obvious apparent reasons, we eliminated that from any consideration going forward. So again, as I said, in our range of alternatives, these stars represent where we had route groupings because we're trying to address the various biological, cultural, and socioeconomic conflicts. And again, on the website, you can dive more deeper into those maps and all the different kind of consideration and choices that we were making. In addition to compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act, as federal agencies were required to comply with the Endangered Species Act, and most of these occurrences are south of Story County. The examples of the animals that we've had to consult on include the Mojave Desert tortoise, the bi-state distinct population of sage grouse. Again, that's in Carson County to the south of U.S. Highway 50. Southwestern willow flycatcher is even further south, and so is the yellow-billed cuckoo a bit further south of Story County. So we've had to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service on these 4 species. In addition to Endangered Species Act, we've had inventories that have been done on the federal lands along the 472 miles to identify prehistoric and historic features or cultural resources. And we are in consultation with the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation and the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office through a process called substitution. And essentially, this is considered to be a streamlining tool to bring efficiencies into the permitting process where we can do mutual compliance with these 2 laws at the same time, rather than having them on 2 completely different tracks and they kind of catch up at the end point. The goal here is to try to have these 2 things working together. And in the environmental document, we disclose the impacts to the cultural resources, along with all the other impacts to biological and socioeconomic resources. South of Story County, we've had to consider 2 plan amendments. So this doesn't affect Story County, but the 2 that we've considered in the document include reclassification of visual resources. Most of the Bureau of Land Management lands in Story County have never been classified for visual resources. We have levels 1, 2, 3, 4, with level 1 being the most protective for visual resources. And most of Story County was never classified under the old resource management plan for this area. So this particular reclassification affects the part of the project and the other counties. And then the other part is what is known as Section 368 Westwide Energy Corridors. Congress passed a law years ago, and under Section 368 mandated that Department of Interior agencies create energy corridors. And again, this affects areas, I believe all this is south of Story County. I don't think we have any Section 368 corridors up here. The objective really in spirit was, let's put all the utilities together. So if we're going to minimize overall impacts to social, biological, and cultural resources, let's kind of put all the infrastructure in one place. Where that's been altered was now there's a perspective that is actually more damaging to greater sage-grouse when we do this. And so in 2015, in the other counties, Lander and Esmeralda and White Pine counties, a lot of the energy corridors were eliminated. If they weren't occupied by energy infrastructure, we actually de-designated them, because now the viewpoint is in the areas where greater sage-grouse occurs, it's not environmentally better to co-locate all the energy infrastructure. So interesting kind of how things change over the years with our land use planning efforts. Here's our contact information. I'm the primary contact. Simply speaking, greenlinkwest@blm.gov is our email address. Here's our website with all of the environmental documents. Again, I just recently reminded all the cooperating agencies about the upcoming end of the comment period. And again, just remind the board and the public that tomorrow, Ned, is our final virtual meeting on this project. If you wanted to listen in and see a presentation a bit more enhanced than this, and we'll also be having a Q&A session. And with that, that concludes our PowerPoint presentation to the board on this project. But Gregor and I are here if you have any specific questions that we can answer for you at this time.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I have just one or two. And thank you, Brian, for that presentation. Very comprehensive. Can you help us understand, is my understanding correct that most of the potential area of impact in Story County is on private land, and just how that relates, is it subject to the same level of scrutiny, and what your role is when it's in an area that really doesn't have a lot of public land involved?
The big picture is that you could argue that we can't do the public portions of the project without the private portions. There's this concept in NEPA called connected actions that regulation has changed a bit in the last couple of years, but the principle applies. We're generally from A to Z. We're trying to look at the completeness of all the resources, whether biological, cultural, or social, socioeconomic. So that's the starting point. But then the challenge to that becomes, sometimes for varying circumstances, applicants can't obtain permission to enter onto private property. And I'm not going to go into why that happens, but it does. So a lot of our analysis starts with desktop exercises using GIS, and they can look at what are the plant communities, what are the animal communities associated with those plants, et cetera. So fair minimum, it's desktop exercise. Where we put boots on the ground, we do, and we have for all of the federal lands associated this. Where there are private land portions of the project, regardless of which county, for the cultural resources, we've had to do what's called predictive modeling. This is a tool in the bucket list in the cultural resources program where they can't put boots on the ground, and they have ways of modeling out the likelihood of occurrences of either prehistoric sites or historic sites, and kind of predicting there's a high percentage or low percentage for the occurrence of those things. So for the private land portions of the project, for cultural resources, which includes prehistoric and historic, you know, 1850 to present kind of thing, that modeling was done, that predictive modeling was done. But that's just in the analysis stage. We still have requirements that can be imposed on the applicant prior to construction, where they may have to follow up immediately prior to construction and do further surveys and studies so that they can then further implement avoidance measures. because we're not able to on the private property to identify exactly where historic sites are or exactly where cultural sites are, we still have a mechanism to require on them to do further investigation before they actually break ground, with the intention of maybe them shifting a pole left or right or shifting the line here or there kind of thing. Greg, do you have any other thoughts on that question about private property and implementation?
Yeah, well, the energy will obviously be after easements. So, Lee, do you have any further?
No, I think we're making
it. Yeah. It's predictive modeling, and then we'll put stipulations on about energy to comply with making sure they're going through easements and cooperating with any private land holders. So it's 525 that goes all the way up to Urington. That's the size of the transmission line. When it gets to Urington, it splits into 345s. So it's a little bit of a smaller transmission line, but just for your reference, from Urington up this way, it'll be 345s.
Perfect. Thank you. And then I guess most of my other specific questions were covered in the questions that Kathy submitted. I think, Brian, you mentioned that some responses had come back. I did not notice those in our packet. Maybe I can ask Kathy if she can confirm that we've actually received those, so that we don't need to take time reviewing those now, as long as that's something that we have access to. But if not, I those are very much active questions in my mind.
And some of them relate to the private property and those kind of implications. We had 16 cooperating agencies, obviously coming in from different perspectives: wildlife, cultural, socioeconomics, et cetera. We had 1,400 comments to sort through. So it was a behemoth of an exercise last Christmas for us. And then within the last month, all those comments, responses have been put in writing and sent out to all the cooperators. So I'll follow up with Kathy, and then you'll follow up, and we'll make sure that all that information has been available to you.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. With that, is there any public comment or comment from staff regarding this project? All right. Not seeing any. Gentlemen, appreciate the update.
Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to go back to item number 12, since I now see Mike has joined us. This is a discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of a letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development supporting the continuation of the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, also known as EDON, being one of the county's two official economic development authorities. Mike Kazmierski, good to see you.
Thank you, Commissioner, and the entire commission. It's a pleasure to be here as one of the lead agencies for economic development in the region. We have been working closely with the staff, and certainly Austin has been an important part of our team on our board, as well as representation from Commissioner Carmona and Mitchell. So we are excited to be able to give you a quick update. And you've seen some of this before. It's been updated slides and information. You'll see a little bit more drill down in the Story County impacts, but generally I'm going to kind of fly through this. So if you don't mind, I will do that. Next slide, please. And if you want to, do I do that?
No, it's we got some technical issues over here.
I'll make sure I'm not.
There we go.
Okay, next slide, please. Obviously, we're a nonprofit, and our mission is to attract, retain, and grow quality jobs. And our community board, which includes representation from Story County, is important because it brings the entire region together at one time, at one place, to talk about what's important to the region. Next slide, please. Our area of responsibility is generally the I-80 corridor out to Fernley, includes the industrial center. And, we don't get out into the rurals. We call an NDA when we have a more rural project and say, hey, you guys, this is kind of your space. They have relationships out there to help. Next slide, please. Our national recognition has been amazing. As a region, we continue to get very high rankings. You see the number two in the nation for wage growth. Livability is an important factor. Quality of life, outdoor activities, all of that talks to attractiveness to talent. And you can only bring companies in if you have talent that they can use to be successful. Next slide, please. And then some other Gen Z, number six in the nation for Gen Z, millennial attraction, place to start a business. And then one we're most proud of is the manufacturing. Next slide, please. Our strategic plan is really, again, a simple five focused area: attracting great companies, retaining them, growing them through entrepreneurial development, workforce development, and community development. Next slide, please. Attraction priorities continue to be areas where the wages are higher. So clean tech and manufacturing are really something we put aggressively. California is our friend. Corporate headquarters are part of that higher wage component. And then you can see technology, fintech, clean tech, advanced manufacturing. Next slide, please. This is last year, closed out the year. You can see manufacturing is really our lead, continues to be the lead, and it's the number one reason our community has changed is because of advanced manufacturing. And Story County has been an incredibly important part of that. Corporate headquarters are important for the downtown and for the secondary effects of having business activity to fill up the hotels and casinos and things like that. Next slide, please. This is something that 10 years ago didn't exist, the number two ranking in the nation for our area for manufacturing thriving. You think back 10, 12 years, we were a great place for logistic distribution, but almost no manufacturing. You had a little bit of that in Mountain House, and that's about it. Now we are considered one of the manufacturing hubs in the West. Next slide, please. None of these companies were here 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Clearly, a move into technology helps us with the average wages. We're pretty excited with success across the board, and your team has been an important part of helping us succeed there. Next slide, please. And obviously, Tesla. Tesla was a big part of our success. We had, before Tesla had attracted nearly 40 manufacturing companies. But once we landed Tesla, it got a whole lot easier to bring manufacturing to the region. And then the expansion now, which is huge, continues to round out that complex and reinforces our region as a great place for advanced manufacturing. Next slide, please. Some Story County projects in the last couple of years. You can see pretty exciting success there, and the majority in manufacturing. And again, advanced manufacturing is really what we lead with. That is our strong suit, because when you have a manufacturing facility, you saw that during the pandemic, they may have changed their operations a little bit, but they didn't close down. And just about everything else did. And so when you have a recession, that same kind of thing is going to happen. You're going to have a lot of pullback. Manufacturers will continue to manufacture. And especially our logistics and distribution complements our manufacturing, and they both will retain or help our region ride through the next recession in a very positive way, much like we did during the pandemic. Next slide, please. And then just some of the ones we have teed up for Story County. In fact, that first one, we will be down in the Bay Area with the governor next week, meeting with the executives of that company. They are looking at 250-acre parcels here in the industrial center. So very, very likely that you'll see that, and that one will be advancing as well, and a couple of others there. Next, the bottom point there in Story County, we have worked to 45 projects, obviously all in the industrial center in the last, since 2012. So very much an important part of our success as a region, and the teamwork we've had together has allowed this region to really change. Next slide, please. We're excited about the average wages. If you go back 5 years, our average wages as a region were in the 40s. This past year, and what's up there, the monthly success rate over the last 3 years, and we continue to trend in the mid-60s. Actually, our target is 60. We'll actually increase for next year up to 67,000. We continue to see that success as a region, in part because our logistics distribution, you can remember back 10 years when those were $9 and $10 an hour jobs. We tell them you can't succeed here unless you're paying 18 to 20 now. So even the logistics jobs have amped up significantly in average wages, and you really can't hire anyone for less than $20 an hour now. And you probably see that in your government hirings and in your other opportunities here, the wages have gone up. And that's good because housing prices have gone up too. Next slide, please. So that's attraction. And we have, obviously, Stan transitioned out, and Heather has replaced him as the lead. She brings with her a lot of talent, Heather Wesling Gross, and she is very aggressive in connecting with the advanced manufacturing companies were continuing to move forward. Our pipeline right now on the attraction side has continued to be strong and, as a fact, has grown. We're at the 150 to 200 company pipeline that we are working with at this time. Once we get them here, we want them to be successful, and that's where retention comes in. Nancy McCormick, and many of you know Nancy as a little dynamo out in the industrial area a lot. She has personally visited with every company in the industrial area and helps them succeed. Here are some of the services that team provides. Next slide, please. Assisting companies. I mean, that's the business retention expansion effort, is to keep them here, help them grow. So we help them on the expansion side and then help solve their problems. And obviously the two major problems we work on at the industrial center is traffic. And so she worked on the setting up a traffic district, helping get the light in there. We worked with NDOT and obviously your team to do that. And now looking at a second access road to the industrial center. So traffic is their number one issue. Workforce is their number two issue. And for most of the companies in the industrial center, we help them connect with and work on attracting the talent they need. Next slide, please. All these manufacturers need certain skills. And so we're pushing the CTE skills into the education institutions so that what pops out in 5 or 10 years is talent that we can move right into these job opportunities. And so working the CTE part, the robotics piece, we're trying to get STEM, science, technology, engineering, math into every school and robotics in every school. And we think that that is critical to meeting the needs of our employers in the future. Next slide, please. And once we get them here and help them, we're also looking for organic growth. How can we help companies and spinoffs stay here? Because in the past, if you were a spinoff in this region, you would have to go to the Bay Area to be successful. We'd have to go there for mentors. You have to go there for money. Our goal has been and continues to be, we can grow startups here. And you look at the 42 new startups formed last year alone, that is probably a record for us. Average wage of a startup job is $90,000. So you can see where that really helps. On the average wages, and those are just some companies there, we actually help them on the relocation, especially out of the mothership, which is the Bay Area for startups. And the quality of life in the Bay Area has not been what it was in the past. Our quality of life, something we promote aggressively, has helped them see the Reno-Sparks region as a place to consider. Next slide, please. And this is pretty important in raising money. You need money ultimately to grow your startup. So helping money and investors fund and feed our entrepreneurial talent allows them to grow the companies here. And in many cases, they've had to go somewhere else where the money is. Now the money's coming here, and that's a pretty important part of it. You can see some of the money, some of the companies that have gotten venture funds. Next slide, please. And how we basically have succeeded in this area. You can see back to 2012, there was almost no venture funds coming into this region. And now this last couple of years, you got the pandemic in the middle, but pretty solid numbers in the millions. And that is, let me put the side there. That is, last year we were over a billion. So that's 100 millions. So that's pretty exciting to see $1 billion of investment in our companies. Obviously, we have some big fish to eat up a chunk of that. But you saw that 27 new startups, a lot of those need money to grow. And that may be as little as 50,000 and Dragonfly, 300 million. So different ranges on the money. Next slide, please. And then just because they're a startup doesn't mean they're small. I mean, you've got Redwood out here. It's a startup, technically. Started in Carson City, moved to the industrial center. Nanotech Energy, Ridgeline. I mean, some great companies that came here really not making money, and we helped them grow in this region. Next slide, please. Finally, in the community development, we get involved in things that help the community be more attractive. We want to be attractive not only to companies, because you can do that with low taxes and cheap land, but with the talent. They're going to need the talent to succeed. They're going to need engineers to move here. They're going to need technicians. All that talent has to want to live here. And that's why we get involved in community initiatives like the school infrastructure issue in Washoe County, where they were just underfunded, 50 years old, falling apart. We were closing classrooms because the roofs leaked and we didn't have the money to fix them. So things like that, the trails are a part of quality of life for some of the millennials, Gen Zs. And then we're working on the land study. Obviously, we need more land in this region where land is causing issues with our housing and housing prices and in homelessness, helping us not become San Francisco when it comes to homeless. Next slide, please. So challenges, a number there. You saw at the state of the economy or some of the other things. We go into more detail on that, but just to touch a little bit on this, next slide, please. I like to remind people that say we're growing way too fast. We're growing slower than ever. If you look at the growth rate over the last 50 years, we've gone from almost a 5% growth rate down to 1%. Now, yes, the blue line is actual population increase, but when you add 7,500 people in 1971, it's a whole lot more of an impact than when you had 7,500 people in 2022. So you look at that chart, it's pretty darn straight. We've been pretty consistent in our net growth of population. Next slide, please. Housing, I mentioned housing a couple of times. The shortage affects a lot of things. We've actually had prospects that chose us. Their executives could not find a house that they wanted to live in, and then they went to another site. So the housing is actually affecting some of our ability to attract companies to this region and certainly talent as well. Next slide, please. And here's why. When you look at that red line, that's our population growth. We saw it on the previous slide. Those are the housing starts in our region. Blue, single family, green, multifamily. You see what happened before the Great Recession. We were pretty much tracking. We had a little bit more housing as the population increased. The recession hit and we just went to sleep when it came to building anything. And it took us 10 years to start to get our act together. And we're still, if you look at the single family housing, you got to go back to 1985 to see that's about how many they built back then. So we shifted the multifamily because that's all you can build that is reasonably affordable. The single family housing prices hover in the region at 600,000. You got to get paid a lot to afford a $600,000 house. Next slide, please. So the land piece is part of the equation. We're working with you. I appreciate your support of the lands bill to help us get a little bit more land, not only for housing, but for industrial, a little bit closer to where some of the housing is. And it's just something we need in this region. We've got so much BLM land around us that if we don't do a little bit more of an expansion, we've got problems. It's going to start holding us back in a lot of ways. Next slide, please. The Southern Connector, you're aware of this. That dotted line at the bottom is just an estimate. We actually, as of Friday, got funding from NDOT to do a preliminary engineering study that should give us a pretty good sense of the actual route. And we've asked them to do whatever they can to keep the route as far north as possible. We did have a great session with the Highlands community. That was one of the requests, but we're moving forward on that. It's critical with the expansion of Tesla and Redwood and the Switch growth and several other major developments in the industrial park. The interstate is a problem and will become a more of a problem when they actually start to go widening it, because there's some places where they're not going to be able to alter traffic. They're going to have to shrink it down to one lane. And whenever that happens, you get 2-hour backups. So this needs to be in sooner rather than later. And we have the governor's commitment to help us move forward on this. Next slide, please. And then it's a partnership. We're all on the same team. We work as a region. Next slide, please. And if you have any questions, I would be available. But first, I'd like to call up someone who will be stepping into this position in 2 weeks. He will take the gavel at the next board meeting, Taylor Adams, who comes to us from Virginia Beach as an assistant city manager for development. He has got tremendous expertise across the board in attraction and certainly is savvy in dealing with government. So, Taylor, if you want to make a comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, members of the commission. It's an honor to be here today. So looking forward to working with all of you. I've had the pleasure to meet a couple of you already, as well as Mr. Osborne. And so thank you so much for having us today. Mike's pretty much covered everything that I think I would have tried to say. And so I'll step out of the way, but just once again, end by saying how much I'm looking forward to working with all of you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So any questions you may have?
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Mike?
No questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I don't have any questions either. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Is there any public comment, questions for Mike? All right. Appreciate the update. See you in a couple days.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a. Action on our part. Mike, you're good. So not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve and sign the enclosed letter to the Governor's Office of Economic Development supporting the continuation of the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, or EDON, being one of the county's two official economic development authorities.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Back on track here at item number 14, this discussion for possible action, review, and if appropriate, approve of response letter regarding Green Lake West project draft environmental impact statement. Kathy Canfield.
Thank you. So I have had a chance to go through the document itself. And so I actually printed it out if anybody wanted to look at the printed copy.
That 4-inch folder?
Yes. And that's actually not even everything. I didn't print out things that we, as a county, wouldn't be that interested in, the some of the endangered species things and that such. So I started with a letter trying to outline some of the topics that I think the document really isn't answering for us. And I've put those comments into some bullet points here. And what I'm looking for from you is how does the board think we want to respond to this? Do you want to do a letter like this? We don't have to do this, but if we do, do we want this to be signed by the planning department or the county manager, or does the board want to submit such a letter? We can go through this. This is really just a starting point. If you agree with some of these comments or not, if we want to include those or not. Or if I'm missing something that we didn't that put in here that you think is important to highlight. So I'm really looking at direction from you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Is that what you've got so far before I go to these guys?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, comments?
Not comments at this time, thank you, Jay.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier to Brian, you know, the questions outlined here really summarize my questions as well. Mm-hmm. So far, I don't know if they've been addressed at all, and so I think it's certainly worth making sure that we bring them up again. And I don't have any attachment to any particular as far as who signs it. It doesn't really matter to me. If it lends more weight, I'm happy to suggest that the board sign it in support of staff. If we think it's more appropriately coming direct from the planning department, that's perfectly fine with me as well. I just think these are really insightful questions. And I'll just kind of review the major topics. How are alternative routes consistent with our master plan and our zoning ordinance?
Right.
How does it interact with that? You know, what is the location of the proposed? I mean, it's 165 foot wide permanent easement. What does that do? How does that impact development potential on private property?
Right.
And then what does this route do for emergency response for us? Well, included in is a permanent 24 foot wide roadway. And what does that do? How does that create access for off-road, off-highway vehicles and potential issues, further issues with private property owners? So, and then of course, petroglyphs, fire danger. Yeah, anyway, I think it's absolutely crucial that these things be addressed, whether it's by the BLM as the lead agency or whether it's by NV Energy. I think these things are important for us to get answers to.
Couldn't agree more, Vice Chairman. I think the letter is, I'm very comfortable with the letter as is. We just need to make the decision of whether we want to sign it, have planning sign it, have the county manager sign it. Maybe we can think about that. I'll go to the public, see if there's any comments from the public at this time, if that's okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item right now? All right. I'll echo Clay's sentiments. I think the letter is very well drafted, Kathy. Thank you for that. I think we definitely need to, try to solicit some feedback from some residents, if at all possible. But I think if you guys are okay with the commission signing it, does that sound good?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, leaving in the staff is available to interface, right? And,
absolutely.
And maybe specifically identifying both Kathy and Austin as primary points of contact. Because I think you know, you're the best suited, Kathy, to really make sure we get the answers that we need. You've delved into this and have your head wrapped around what's going on there. So
I could probably add a couple things. One, you know, we have been partners with NV Energy, and we're not necessarily against what the goals of what they're trying to do here. This helps our county a lot with our industrial center and that. I just, as a planner, I would like to see this follow more of the industrial area and not the residential area or our forestry area that is not identified to transition into industrial. So that's how it kind of comes with the zoning and the master plan ideas. The other thing with the comments that they received, what we got back was an Excel spreadsheet with the 14,000 or 1,400 comments that he had. And so our little comments are like one little sentence back on what our topics and things were. So I'm happy to share those with you. I just didn't think they were
substantive.
Right. It was just like, okay. The other thing I should point out with is when this actually comes to time for a construction, that areas that are within our existing transmission corridor, which is the area that's pretty much going north, south, towards the industrial center, that's already a transmission corridor. And so they'll be able to come in and just get pulled permits, whatever appropriate permits, construction permits for that. The area that goes east-west is not an existing transmission corridor. That will require a special use permit from us. So even if they come back and they're really not addressing a lot of this, we will be coming back saying you need to get a special use permit for this. And that allows us to be able to make findings or not make findings. And whether all these things that get addressed in this document now, we might be pushing it more then. Now, they were talking about, you know, maybe move a pole here, move a pole there. You know, some of the things like with some of our cultural aspects may require more than just move the pole a little bit here, a little bit there. For us, it might be you need to move that maybe a mile away or something. I don't, you know, I'm just reaching for a number. But that's something, too, that I think it's good to know that this isn't the end all and it's done. We still have some say over some of that on permitting.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. With that, gentlemen, are you ready to move forward with a motion?
Yeah. Well, and I just absolutely want to say it's great to know that we have kind of that process still before us. I think from a planning perspective, it's important to be looking at it ahead of time, because as we just heard, there's a discussion of a possible transit corridor through there. And how are those going to interact with each other, right? My understanding is from the historic and cultural perspective, they're looking at visual impact of 160 foot wide, you know, I mean, you know, that's significant. It's mm-hmm. like you said, it's not just moving poles. And so, especially with some of the resources that we know are in that area, I think it warrants further conversation well before we get to them actually applying for permits. So whatever we can do to support, I think is valuable.
All right. Thank you. You ready?
Actually, I have a point of clarification. If you're comfortable with this letter, I will add on some language about contacting myself and maybe put Austin's name there. So I would add on to the letter to do that.
Okay.
Are you okay with us taking credit for your letter?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can have you sign and we'll sign underneath just to give it a boost if you want. I'm not picky.
It doesn't matter to me.
So we get everybody.
Yeah.
You'll stay the primary
contact. Probably the primary contact. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be primary.
She's been patiently.
All right. Well, with that, Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the submittal of the attached letter to the Bureau of Land Management in response to the Story County review of the Greenlink West project draft environmental impact statement. I further move that a copy be sent to NV Energy and that we add the commission signatures to the bottom with Kathy remaining the primary contact.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for all the work and effort on that, Kathy, you and Lindy. All right, moving on to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. Parcel map request to return previously consolidated two parcels of land back into two legal lots of record. The parcel map alters the original lot line configured slightly to allow for easier parcel access. The property is located at 21430 Saddleback Road in the Virginia City Highlands neighborhood of Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 003-101-69. Kathy?
Thank you. So this, again, is a parcel map that's being proposed by an applicant. They have two parcels in the Highlands that had been previously consolidated by a different property owner. They have purchased this and wanted to return the two parcels back into two parcels of land. They're doing a minor modification to the front so that the access is more even on the roadway side than it was previously. This was heard at the Planning Commission this past, July 20th. And we did have some neighbors show up with some concerns about the water issues and additional residences that would be constructed on the parcel, because now it would just be one. Breaking it back, there could be two. The Planning Commission recognized that concern, but also recognized the property rights of the owner, and they recommended approval of the parcel map as it's shown. I should be noted that this was also approved once before by the board in 2021. And the applicant at that time just couldn't get everything put together to finalize the map itself.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Kathy, just to confirm, should this go through, the minimum, the parcel sizes of each of the parcels would conform to the minimum that's required for development or what
yes.
have you in the area?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any. Are you prepared for a motion?
I am. And while I find that, I just want to say, you know, if I certainly hear the concerns about densities and development. If this was a subdivision below that level, I might have an issue with it. But given that it meets the minimum zone requirements, I'm supportive. And so with that, I'll make a motion. In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission and staff, the findings under Section 3A of the staff report are in compliance with all conditions of approval. I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby waive the requirement for a tentative map and move to approve a parcel map to return previously consolidated two parcels of land back into two legal lots of record. The parcel map alters the original lot line configuration slightly to allow for easier parcel access. The property is located at 21430 Saddleback Road in the Virginia City Highlands neighborhood of Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 003-101-69.
Second motion.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Findings. Thank you.
This approval is for a parcel map to return two previously consolidated two parcels of land back into two legal lots of record. The parcel map alters the original lot line configuration slightly to allow for easier parcel access. The property is located at 21430 Saddleback Road in the Virginia City Highlands neighborhood of Story County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number 003-101-69. The parcel map complies with NRS 278.461 through 278.469 relating to parcel maps and Chapter 16.30 of the Story County Code, including the specific criteria outlined in Section 2.D of the staff report. Parcel map complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps. Parcel map will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. Parcel map will not cause the public to be materially injured. The conditions of approval for the requested parcel map do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.40E Estate Zone or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
Thank you, Kathy. There is a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. On to our 15-minute break. Always right before Jennifer McCain gets up. I was trying to trick you on that one. We'll reconvene here right after the buzzer.